Welcome to Shoujo, an anime podcast where I, Sarah, introduce my good friend Joe to anime from the shoujo genre. We're currently covering The Rose of Versailles, and this week we're discussing episodes 31 through 33. But before we jump into the drama of the show, let's catch up. Joe, what have you been up to?
So I've been showing my friends all of the Matrix movies because they have not seen all of them. And I like all of them. So I've been showing them. And yesterday was the culmination in the Matrix 4.
Is that the new one?
Resurrection. That's what it's called. Yes, that is the new one. A movie that seems to not enjoy its own existence in a way that I find very fun. But not everybody else loved as much as me.
Bang. Bang. Ugh, stupid fly in my apartment. Sorry. Okay, now that's going to be distracting.
But that brings that little exercise to a close, which is good. And yeah, no, it's just good. I think it's fine. So that's been fun. I'm trying to think of what else that I've done that's been noteworthy. The whole week's a blur. I'll throw it back to you while I think of more things.
Joe, as soon as I heard this, I was like, oh my God, I must tell Joe. So I've been sitting on this. So I was at my mom's place and we were like talking about my sister's wedding and stuff. And my sister was there. We were planning like getting the trip booked for her bachelorette trip. And she brought up a concern she had that, because her fiance wants, I think it's like an uncle or something, to be the person who marries them.
Officiate.
What's that called? Yeah. So, yeah. And he's done like other weddings in the families before. But she told us that he has an eye condition that has worsened recently and that he now wears an eye patch.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, I don't know if I want a guy with an eye patch officiating my wedding, but like, you know, her fiance like really wants it to happen. And it's like, oh, but what about the photos and this and that? And I'm like, nah, this is going to be sick. You should definitely have him do it and let him keep the eye patch on. That'd be so fun. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, that's really interesting.
That was so good. Oh, man. Let's see. I guess I'll just do my... Yeah, same. Been playing Monster Hunter. I haven't been gaming that much. I've been rewatching Survivor, like I mentioned. But now, on Tuesday, patch 8 of Baldur's Gate 3 comes out, which introduces a bunch of new subclasses and this and that. And I have multiple different groups of people who are like, oh, yeah, we should play that. And I've, you know, up to this point, I've been like, oh, yeah, you know, like whenever that comes out, thinking I had more time before this happens. Because now I'm like, oh, God, I haven't finished Monster Hunter. You have witnessed what trying to play this game with me is like.
There's just no way you're going to be able to do
multi-person playthrough.
The scheduling alone will be killer.
Yeah, we'll just have to see how it goes. Yeah, so that's a thing on the horizon. I'm trying to think of anything else of note is happening in my life. I feel like it has not been very exciting lately.
Yeah.
I got a new pillow.
You got new pillows?
That's a high. Well, I just got it in the mail today and fluffed it. And so I'll try it tonight and see how it is. I just have terrible quality of sleep, but also it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's, here's hoping, as I do with all my impulse purchases late at night, that this one little purchase is going to change my life.
That's, yeah. For the
better somehow.
Oh, man. Speaking of buying stuff, I've been like,
yes.
I've been like, should I buy a dedicated MP3 player or music? What is it? DAP? Did I talk about this last time? I feel like I talk about this all the time with a bunch of people. And I feel like I just have the same conversation over and over and over again.
What do you mean?
I got, what are those? There's like a type of earbud or whatever that's like, they use for like audio testing. You can buy them very cheaply. Anyway,
so I
got that. And now I'm like, ooh, this is wired. This is a wired thing that I have. And that doesn't really go into my phone anymore. Like your phone doesn't have an audio jack anymore. So I, of course, am like, what if I got like a, you know, like just like an MP3 player that I could just have and I could just dump a bunch of music on it, listen to it whenever I want. And there is a market for that, and it's extremely expensive. It's so intense.
Oh,
in terms of like all the different things you can get,
because they're like iPod or something.
Yeah, but they make those, but they're like audiophile things, right? So there's like all these different brands, and they can range from costing to like, you know, $40 to like $1,000 or like $2,000. It's wild the like extent. That you can go like hard on whatever. So the thing I got was an in-ear monitor is what they're called. So they're IEMs. And they sound good because they have like all the different frequencies and they're wired. So they're like intense. But I'm like not an audiophile guy. So I like don't really understand any of this stuff. And every time I go to these websites, because I'm like, what's a good like entry level model to get Reddit? And it's like, I'll go to these websites and they're showing me like the circuit diagrams of like the audio processor. And I'm like, wow, this means absolutely nothing to me. What is any of this stuff? So I've been having it. And of course, I'm doing this because I'm like, well, what if tariffs happen? They may never happen because they seem to be just doing whatever they want. Now electronics are not included, but they're going to be included later. Who knows? So I keep being like, I need to get this now, maybe. But also, maybe I don't need to get this now. I don't know. But mostly, I just want to stop using Spotify. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of Spotify. The quality's gone down. Their like recommendation stuff is not as good. I don't like all their little AI generated names of stuff. It's annoying to me. I know it doesn't like pay artists anything, so it's not like I'm helping them at all by using this. So I'm sick of it. I'm tired of using services. I want to have everything
just directly
locally. That's right.
I just only use Spotify for like specific, like what I know I want to listen. I just like songs that I know, and then just shuffle through the thousands of songs I have on my light songs. I don't have like recommendations or anything like that really. And then you get ads for Amazon Music or whatever, and it's like, want ad-free podcast? And I'm like, well, Amazon Video isn't ad-free anymore, so I'm like, surely the Amazon Music app will also have ads sometime soon.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like it doesn't have very good ratings, but yeah, I know. I used to do the whole iTunes thing because on campus it was like, if you're caught pirating music, you'll be in big trouble. And I was like, oh no.
Okay,
so I'll just buy my songs through iTunes.
I can't get in trouble. That would be bad.
Man. Yes.
Yeah.
Scary.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so like, it's just been a lot of that. It's been a lot of like, I don't want to use any services anymore. I got this Plex server that I've been setting up, but it's like, I usually like to buy Blu-rays. People don't even release Blu-rays anymore and stuff like that. I'm just like, dang, I don't know. You know what also is annoying to me? I can't find a good way to like host or to have ebooks. Like, I don't have any there's all these different ebook readers. I know people like all this stuff, but like, Amazon has just kind of locked down all of the stuff with Kindle. So I don't really want to get a Kindle. But then there's like all these other ones that are like very, it's the same type of thing where it's like, there's, if I look for an e-reader, it's going to like give me the specs in like a way I don't understand. Or it's going to like do all this stuff that I'm just going to say all these things about like, ooh, this is the different lighting options. Here's all this other stuff. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? And also like, where do you even get ebooks? I feel like it's not easy. You think this would be incredibly easy, like an electronic version of a book. How hard can that be? But it's like, you gotta go to all these marketplaces and they have all these proprietary things you gotta read from. So it's like, where do I buy this stuff from? I think Bookshop now does it, but I don't know how they do it. Cause like I'm running out of book case storage. I can't keep buying physical books.
You just start having just hoarder. Turn into a book hoarder.
I'm trying to read more books, but I'm trying to be like, how do I do that? And it's like, you know, try to get them for the library, but they have all those weird stuff around it. It's just like, it's constant. It's terrible. The easiest thing, the thing that should be the easiest to get, is somehow the most complicated one. Like, how hard should it be to get a PDF? It should not be hard. It should be incredibly easy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess I haven't been reading outside manga as much lately, but I like don't. There's only select books that I actually keep. Most of them, I'll just, after I've read them, I'll just either give them to someone I recommend it to, and then it's their problem to deal with the physical book. But yeah, I'm already at past capacity on the bookshelf situation. And now I'm doing the new collecting, which is just vinyl records, which are so expensive. Why are they so expensive? But I got last week, or maybe like 2 weeks ago, I got Linkin Park's Meteora album, and then I got Evanescence, whichever the one with like Wake Me Up and stuff is. So I just like collecting things, I guess. But I have systems. It's not like hoarding up to the walls and creepy dolls I collect, you know. It's organized, and yeah, I don't know. And then no one's here to appreciate my sweet collections. It's just me.
Right.
I'm just impressing myself.
I did recently just watch a movie starring dinosaurs. I don't know if we should talk about that. I guess we shouldn't.
Are we talking about the one we're recording tomorrow?
We're going to be recording a bonus episode.
Yeah.
On the second Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah.
That is not called Jurassic Park 2.
Well, I wish they just wouldn't have called it Jurassic Park 3. You got like,
oh, see, but you're always like about the, you're always about the titles being like, I don't like these titles that are complicated.
Well, either it's one thing or another, but like if it's, but The Lost World came out first, so that's setting the standard that it shouldn't then become JP3. Like, you got it right, because like Jurassic World isn't like that either. So Jurassic Park 3 is the outlier of having a number.
Yeah.
And it's the worst one ever. And there's someone I know right now who, or the person I went to the movie on the lake thing, and we watched the first movie, and they're like, oh yeah, I remember Jurassic Park 3 being my favorite. And I was like, have you watched that recently? I would like you to rewatch it and then come back to me if like that's still the best.
I do feel like the naming convention for Jurassic Park 2 is weird, because it's The Lost World : Jurassic Park, which is like, you're putting the series on the right side of the colon instead of the left side. All of the Jurassic World is like Jurassic World : Dominion or whatever. So like none of them follow the same pattern.
I guess in Michael Crichton's the movie might be different than the book, but that it wasn't planned that there was going to be a sequel. It's supposed to just be one book. But then when Steven Spielberg is like, hey, my guy, I want to make another one of these movies. Can you make another book that I can base it off? You can't say no to Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, you can definitely tell.
So then you scramble.
That it was not supposed to have a sequel in Jurassic Park 2. A movie
movie is very different.
Doesn't have a plot. So, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Oh my God, we'll talk about this. No, just wait till we watch JP3. What? Oh, I'm going to be horrified if you like it more than the second one.
Okay. All right. I don't know anything about 3. I feel like I watched it a lot because I had it on like DVD or VHS or something. So I've seen that one more than 2. I don't think I've ever I don't remember anything about 2. So we'll see. We'll see what we feel about that. But also, in terms of bonus episodes, because, you know, I do now have all of the Rose of Versailles manga. Viz offers a thing we can read all accumulated.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start banging out some of the manga versions of stuff. that we've watched so far. So we have enough of a backlog. Wait,
you have
that
the,
can, what?
You have Kimi ni Todoke?
Viz has that as part of their subscription thing. So it's like $3 a month or something. So you could probably just bang through that.
I like you're using bang a lot in the last 2 minutes.
That's because it's
bang it out.
That's right. Just banging it out. We're doing that. I don't know. Goodness. It just happens. Listen.
Yeah.
Some stuff explodes these episodes. So I've been thinking about explosions.
Oh, dang. Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I guess on that note, should we?
Do we have anything else to talk about? I feel like there was some other stuff that I had to say, but I guess I don't. I was thinking too hard about all the different things. No, I was really hoping to finish Gears Tactics by now, but I still have like 2 missions left. So rip to that.
Well, stay tuned, folks. We'll get to hear the end of that epic saga.
Evaluation of the Gears of War franchise. Yes. All right, let's go into it then.
Okie dokie.
So episode 31 of The Rose of Versailles is called Lilacs Bloom in the Barracks. I believe lilacs is the metaphor we're using for men.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. Disappointing. I was like, I don't know. The title implied that it was just going to be like, we're shutting down being a lady altogether. But I guess that's what Oscar said she was going to
do. That's what she said she was going to do.
Continue. Let's see if it happens. We haven't even gotten to that.
Let's see what happens in this episode. We open on a bakery being looted as the narrator tells us that bakeries are being looted all around Paris. Lawlessness has broken, is breaking out as heavy taxes fall upon the commoners. The younger generation has begun engaging in terrorism to fight back, especially guys like Saint Just, our favorite little terrorist guy. We also learned that Saint Just. We also learned that Oscar has been at her new post for only a month as the OP plays. We return to get a scene where Alon's sister brings him some fresh laundry. He gives her a new batch of clothes to wash along with his earnings for the month so that they can buy their mother's medicine because moms are sick. If you're a commoner, your mom everywhere. Is sick. 100%. Yes. All the boys at the barracks love Alon's sister and think that she's very cute. They all want to date her, but are too afraid of Alon.
There's a guy who rips his nose hair out while they're talking. It's disgusting. Why would you do that? No,
you don't think they're good enough to marry Diane, Alon's sister?
No, I've got more to say about her in a bit.
Okay. While leaving, Oscar runs into Alon and his sister, who's named Diane. She greets them and everybody has a good time because we're all on good terms with each other now. Everybody's friends. Oscar goes to her office to find General Buell. She apologizes for her stunt at the marriage ball last episode because he was hosting that ball. So I guess she was kind of insulting him by doing all that. Buell's like, it's cool. Like, I'm friends with your dad. We get it. You know, whatever. That's also not why I'm here. He says he's here for work. And then he explains that he needs her troops to guard Duke Ardelos from Spain while he's here on a goodwill trip. Oscar is like, shouldn't the Royal Guard deal with, like, guarding emissaries and stuff like that, but Buell tells her that they're too busy and no other commander knows how to handle royals properly but her, so she has to do it. We cut to a troop lineup where Oscar tells everybody what the job is. While explaining what the job is, she sees a soldier without a rifle. She's like, soldier, where's your rifle? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, what do you mean you don't know? You're in the French Guard. Like, your rifle is your most valuable possession. They execute people for losing their rifle. You need to figure out where your rifle is. But he just apologizes and says that he really just doesn't know where he left it. And I guess he'll just have to be punished. And she's like, what's your name? And he says his name is Lazare. And she tells her lieutenant to find Lazare another rifle as Alon looks on. They ride out to guard the Duke's procession. She's got a lot of guys, but there is also like a lot of different angles that terrorists could attack from because they're just going out to the countryside. So she splits her troops into two columns and start patrolling the area. Elsewhere, Saint Just is planning to kill the Duke and his family. He's like, we're going to kill them all because the shock factor of the murder will discredit the monarchy and further the cause of revolution in some vague way. His underlings tell him that the Duke's procession has moved out, but they're under heavy protection from the French Guard. So maybe we shouldn't do this. But Saint Just is like, hey, don't worry about it, man. I've got an inside man in the guard. He's gonna get us in.
Can we talk about Saint Just has very pretty eyelashes?
Hey, a pretty boy.
He's a pretty guy.
He does like a whole ass Phantom of the Opera thing later in this episode. And it's very funny.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
We cut back to Oscar and Company B. They reach a chateau out in the fields that's, I guess, is abandoned. I don't know what this is or why they're checking it out, but they check it out. Oscar takes Andre to Lon to search it with her while the rest of her men are to stay behind and keep watch. We cut back to San Just riding to the Duke's procession. He tells his guys that the spy is supposed to kill his commander and create confusion. So Oscar is gonna... is under death threat again. Back at Company B, we see a big guy. We see the big guy who dueled Oscar like a couple episodes ago walk to the chateau. Inside, Oscar, Andre, and Alon have split up to search for clues. And Oscar is going up one of the towers. Suddenly, the big guy comes up from behind her and she's like, hey, man, I told you to stay back there. But he's like, I'm here to help you. And she's like, whatever, and continues to search because she is not on guard at all.
Nope, she should know better.
It's embarrassing. She walks out to the balcony when suddenly the big guy points his rifle at her. He's like, haha, I wasn't actually here to help you. I'm a spy. And Oscar is like, you're a spy? How could I have known this would happen after you defied orders and I just didn't care? He fires at her, but unfortunately for him, this isn't her first quick draw. She dives out of the way to avoid the shot while shooting him in the shoulder with her pistol. He's left with just a knife in his offhand and he tries to stab Oscar, but like she can easily get around him. This is not really a threat to her.
Yeah. Speaking of the Matrix, this is some Matrix stuff here when she did the dodge.
This is great. I love Oscar just being like, I've been in a duel before. I know how to get out of the way. She tells this guy to surrender so she can interrogate him, but he does not because he says he's committed to the cause with his life. Just then, Andre and Oscar rush to a nearby balcony after they hear some commotion and they see that Oscar's being attacked and they shoot this big guy dead before Oscar can stop them. Outside, San Just and his crew realize that the spy has failed, but they're going to continue with their plan anyway, so don't worry about it. Later, Duke Ordelos arrives at the village of Hollandcourt for the night. Company B stands in patrol. In the dark of the night, Andre and Alon are on patrol as they stop to take a break. Alon tells Andre to give up on Oscar. She's an impressive woman for sure, but she's also, like, clearly running away for something. I don't know, man. It seems like nothing but trouble. You'll get caught up in it and maybe get injured. That would be bad if you got injured being caught up in Oscar's stuff, wouldn't it, Andre? And Andre's like, way ahead of you, man. Alon tosses his flask at Andre, whose vision hasn't improved, and he misses the catch. Alon goes and picks it up and hands it to him, but he's like, you're really going to commit your life to her, huh, Andre? Does she even know about your eye, like your vision's failing? And Andre says that she doesn't, but don't tell her anything about it. Elsewhere, Oscar is patrolling the grounds. San Just gives the order. Sorry. San Just gives the order to his men to start the operation, and they shoot arrows tied with dynamite at the Duke's parked carriage outside, and it causes an explosion and a fire. Oscar rushes to the Duke's room to find two of her guards that are standing watch dead, and she rushes into the actual room that the Duke is in and sees San Just in a mask moments away from stabbing the Duke and his family. This is like where the Phantom of the Opera thing happens, because he like puts on a mask and then like rides down a rope and then like rushes in. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. We can still see his beautiful eyes through the mask, though.
That's right. We can. San Just sees Oscar and makes a break for it. He runs away and mounts his horse, along with some of his goons. Alon and Andre show up with a horse and they pick Oscar up, and the three of them ride in pursuit. San Just sees that it's just three of them and orders his men to shoot dynamite at them, and they do, which blows up everything in front of them, throwing them from their horses and then knocking them all out. We see a passed out Oscar, Andre, and Alon lying on the grass as the sun rises. Alon gets up first and sees Oscar and Andre lying on the ground. Andre's hand is grasping Oscar's wrist, and he laughs and tells Andre to do his best and then starts doing some stretches as Andre and Oscar both wake up. I love Alon. He's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm glad the horses didn't get hurt. They were all totally fine.
Yeah, they just got thrown. I think they must have shot like in front of them. So it just like spooked them all.
And the dynamite situation is crazy. Like, it looks like a volcano going off.
Yeah, there are massive explosions. This seems like a very effective thing. I'm surprised people are not doing this more. Back at the barracks, General Buell congratulates Oscar on protecting the Duke. However, there's another matter to attend to. One of his men shows her a rifle. The general says that this gun was found at a pawn shop. The serial number indicates that it's from her company, and Oscar immediately thinks of Lazare. Remember that scene that was out of place earlier? In the pouring rain. Three cloaked military police come and seize Lazare. They place him under arrest. We cut to Oscar's office as Alon and Andre come in. Alon is like, hey, Oscar, what do you think if I had Andre marry my little sister? And Andre's like, what? But Alon's like, hey, I'm doing a thing. Oscar,
I knew he was going to do that.
You did?
I knew. I did. It was an earlier note where I was like, he's going to try and set him up with the sister when they're on the bridge. I was like, he's going to try and give him a different option. Because his sister is pretty.
It's true. Oscar's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Andre's business is his own, so he's free to do whatever he wants. Alana's like, there, see that, Andre? See? I knew it. She doesn't know anything about you. She isn't piecing together anything. It's crazy. So that means there's no need for you to stick her neck out for her. Andre's like, okay, but even if I'm not sticking my neck out for her, I still don't think that she would have done this. But Alon turns and orders Oscar outside, and she's like, why? And he tells her that Lazare was taken because she sold him out. She must have sold him out. Otherwise, how would they know that he sold his rifle? Oscar starts to object, but Alon hits her and drags her outside. In the pouring rain, Alon tells Oscar that he's disappointed in her. He was just starting to like her. She says that she didn't sell Lazare out, but he doesn't believe her. He tosses her sword and says that they're gonna duel. The two of them unsheathe their swords as we cut to credits.
Very dramatic in the rain showdown. Cool ending. Night.
Yeah, this is a good ending.
Yes, you see how much larger he is than Oscar.
He's a big dude.
Yep. Big old dude.
That's right. Yeah. So we're in the barracks. San Juice is doing a little heist that Oscar barely foils.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, because basically this episode was very much depicting that Alon is kind of in the little group now and they're all getting along good and kind of in sync with their actions. And then this happens.
Yeah.
And next episode's title is incredibly ominous.
Yeah. I do like the basically confirmation of this episode that Alon is like a cool guy, essentially. Like, he's not going to be like super weird. He's just like a fairly normal, upstanding guy who likes his friends and his sister.
Well, I was worried because when they shot the guy trying to like assassinate Oscar, I was like, oh, she said don't kill him, but if he's also in on this, then it makes sense to kill the guy so he can't squeal on who. Because I was like, maybe he's like a part of it too.
Oh, you thought that, yeah.
But I guess not.
No, yeah. I don't think the other episodes don't really bear that out at all. I was like, no. When they shot him, I'm like, I don't know if I really want Andre with his eye shooting that stuff.
For real, he could have hit Oscar.
He could have hit anything.
And then the amount of blood gushing out that guy's arm, I'm like, we do not see blood very much on this show, but it's just going in that scene.
That guy's messed up. Yeah. I mean, pretty straightforward episode, I feel like. Again, we're planting flags. We're replanting flags, right? We got the sister. She's in the mix now. We got Sanjus doing some stuff. I'm not really sure how that's going to turn out, to be honest. I do enjoy Alon being like, hey, man, I don't think you should be into Oscar. The vibes seem bad. But then Andre is like, no, I'm doing it. And Alon's like, all right, that still seems bad, but I go for it, I guess. Very same. I am the same way, Alon. I'm looking at the relationship in the exact same way.
Yep. Not more to say. But yes, it just seems like a real downer, their whole dynamic, Oscar and Andre, at this point.
Yeah. It's just very funny to have a new guy come in and be like, ooh, this is weird. Like, this seemed kind of fun for a little bit. And now that I'm seeing you together, mm-hmm. this is bad. but we'll see how that develops in the next episode. So you want to move on?
Yeah.
Episode 32 is called Prelude to the Storm. We open on Oscar and Alon drawing their swords to duel. We see that Alon fights with one sword in his right hand and his sheath in his left hand, which is awesome. He's like dual wielding. It's sick. The duel begins. Alon is very good, but Oscar is no slouch herself. Suddenly, one sword breaks the other as the OP plays. We return to see that it's a longsword that's been snapped. He now holds a broken sword in a sheath. Oscar tells him to give up, but he refuses. He's like, the battle has just begun. They continue fighting, with Alon becoming more acrobatic as this goes on, because we love doing flips and stuff and jumps. It's so good.
Yes. Yep, yep, yep.
He sends a pretty, like, hefty jab down into Oscar's elbow, causing her to drop her sword. They sit there for a while as the men kind of egg him on to, like, finish her, but he kicks the sword back to her before throwing down his own sword and sheath. He reveals to the onlookers that she actually got a hit on him while he was doing that maneuver and declares that he loses. He then tells Oscar that she should pity Lazare. Everybody needs money. Even Alon has sold his gun once or twice before. I did it in a way that I wouldn't get caught immediately because I'm not a moron, but everybody in the guard secretly sells their stuff. They don't get paid enough. Uh-huh. And even though they're risking their lives and stuff, it's still not enough. Oscar is like, all right. We cut to Oscar meeting with General Buell. She asks him to acquit Lazare as a thank you for their work with the Spanish Duke. Buell's like, oh man, all right, well, I'll see what I can do. We jump to Alon and Diane meeting up again. She tells him that she's gotten engaged to a tall and kind man. She's so happy she's brought to tears. Alon is like, oh, that's surprising, but that's great. I'm so glad you're getting married to a guy that you're in love with. He's like, I'll be sure to go home and see you as soon as I can to meet this guy. And they part ways. While leaving, Diane runs into Oscar. She's like, oh, Oscar is like, oh, did you meet up with Alon? And she says, yes. And then Diane adds that her brother told her that Oscar means God and sword in Hebrew. Then she adds, God, sword, and blonde hair, am I right, ladies? Just like how God is depicted, she says to Oscar unprompted, and then she's like, yeah, anyway, I'm gonna go now, bye.
Okay, I don't know if you noticed this. It was so, like, caught my attention, but she only moves in slow motion. His sister, all like, she does not move at a normal pace. It's all slow, like dramatic, like leaving her brother and then running into Oscar and then parting ways with Oscar. It's just like slow, so slow.
I didn't notice. It's
like, what is happening? Yeah, I was like, she's the only character in the whole show to be walking slow mo, and I don't know why.
Well, she's like kind of ethereal. She's a little out of place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
She's like much more of a callback to the early parts of the show, right? This is like, she's acting the way that like Marie was introduced when she was like 16 or whatever, right?
Yeah. Oh, maybe this is just a whole like a nice, innocent gal just can't cut it in the new Paris or something.
Yeah, I mean, like... Well, part of this episode is talking about how, like, the times have changed, and this would be like, oh, if this was the beginning of the show, then she would have a whole thing, and by the end of the episode, she doesn't make it, so times have changed. I guess I'm giving away what
happens. Spoiler alert! Yeah.
Back at the barracks, Andre congratulates Alon on his sister's engagement. Alon seems stoic about it, but says that it's just weird how fast his sister is growing up. Suddenly, one of the guards run up and tells him that Lazare is back. They didn't execute him. He's banged up pretty bad, but he's free. They go to see him, and Lazare tells Alon that Oscar asked him for a favor to get him released. Alon smiles and looks over at Andre because he's like, dang, that commander of yours is really something. Alon goes to see Oscar in her office. He apologizes to her and then jokes about how they can all sell their guns now without any fear of reprisals. Oscar's like, what? And he's like, I'm kidding. But she seemed to be warming up to him, so that's fun. Later that evening, Oscar tells Andre to come with her to thank General Buell. They get in a carriage and ride to the opera house in Paris, where he's watching the opera. Back at the barracks, Alon gets word that Andre went with Oscar to Paris and comments that if they're in a noble carriage, that would be like super dangerous because the mom has been really unruly lately.
Yeah, stupid.
Again.
Why wouldn't you, like, for real?
You would think Oscar would know this.
Oscar's losing it.
A commander of the French guard that, like, this stuff would happen. But, you know, just like last episode where she's like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. And then she's like, ah, whatever. And then immediately almost gets shot. Like, come on, Oscar.
Losing her touch. Yeah. For real.
The carriage drives through Paris, but suddenly gets surrounded by a mob that ambushes it. A ton of men and women with pitchforks and torches rush the carriage. They beat the driver and bodily drag Andre and Oscar out of the carriage. The mob shouts to kill the nobles while Oscar yells that Andre is not a noble. They get beat up while the carriage is lit on fire.
Okay, this is almost like a zombie movie scene. Like, mindless, just, like, people.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
The sequence is genuinely kind of scary. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Shoujo taking a dark turn.
There we go. This show's got it all. At the Opera House, General Buell is told about a riot that's happening and that he needs to slip out back. He asks a colonel that's with him if his men can handle the riot, and the colonel agrees. The colonel is briefed that a carriage with the crest of a blue lion holding a sword was attacked. The camera pans up to see that the colonel is Fursen, and he recognizes the crest as the Jarjay's family crest. He's like, could it be Oscar? Is it her? He rallies his men and they ride out.
Okay, we gotta talk about it. Fursen's hot again. They like made him ugly for a second, and now he's gorgeous.
Fursen's to being hot, baby.
Oh no, his eyes are so pretty. Like, it's just like I don't know what they're doing with Fursen, but he's like, he's back. He's gone.
He's back.
He's back.
He's here.
He's gone.
He's not here. Him and Oscar part ways. Him and Oscar are reunited in the worst possible circumstance you could ever be reunited in.
That's right. It's a lot.
Oh, God. Back at the riot, all hell is breaking loose. Oscar has managed to get on her feet and tries to make an effort to break for it, but she falls right then, Fursen and his men ride up onto the crowd, scattering them. Fursen carries Oscar to an alleyway, and she panics, asking where Andre is. She says specifically, asking where her Andre is. Fursen is like, you're Andre. They both look surprised that she said that, but Fursen says he understands. He swears he'll save Andre, and he rushes off, leaving Oscar alone, who repeats the words she said, my Andre, why would I say that? The vibes are bad.
I hate this so much. It makes me mad. It's like, I don't know where he just assaulted you. I don't love that we're like rewarding
but
that.
But she forgot.
Returned affection.
She said she wasn't mad, and then she forgot, and then several months pass, and it's like it didn't happen. It is the most like it didn't happen it's ever been.
Hate this. Hate it.
Wild.
Oh my God. And Fursen, don't be, but also Fursen, why you gotta be showing up now, looking so fine? and then Oscar's like, look, I'm not into you anymore.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Especially like pulls her out of a riot. And the first thing she says is like, oh, where's my Andre? And he's like, oh, you're not into me anymore? Dang. But don't worry, I got it. Nah, Fursen's a cool guy here, though. We like Fursen. Fursen rides back to the crowd to see that Andre is about to be lynched. Fursen fires his gun in the air and declares that he is Hans Axel von Fursen. It's me. The crowd's like, Hans Axel von Fursen. That name sounds familiar. Why would I know that name? And then they're like, wait a minute. He's the guy that was having the affair with the queen that we all hate. Remember that from forever ago? Forget this random guy. Let's go kill Fursen. And then they all chase after him while Fursen books it, leaving Andre alone to escape.
I was very worried. I was like, great, now they're going to kill him. Now that's been confirmed, Oscar's not into him anymore. Queen Marie done with him. And then he was just going to, I thought he was going to get killed by the mob.
No, no.
Like right then and there.
No. First, he's
jumping to extremes.
Yeah. Good guy first and saving Andre. His friend, question mark. Were they friends? I don't know.
They romped on horses together.
That's true. There's
apples together.
Between this episode and the next episode, a real question of who's Andre actually friends with. Back at the Jarjay's manor, Granny brings Oscar some hot chocolate. She's like, things are rough out there, but I'm glad you got out of there, you know, more or less intact. Oscar asks how Andre is, but Granny tells her that he's just bruised up, but he's, you know, he's all right. He's not like super injured or anything.
He's got 26 bruises.
He's got 26 bruises.
Can you believe it?
Turns out
Oscar has like 11.
Yeah, she's in a similar state, mostly just bruised up. She thinks about how she called him my Andre as Andre walks up to her. He tells her that he got word that Fursen had made it back to the palace without any problems, so everybody got away. Oscar offers Andre some hot chocolate, but he refuses and leaves. Oscar thinks to herself that she definitely would have gone to save Fursen if the roles were reversed.
Yeah, you know? We'll have to talk. the conflicting. I don't know. I just don't know how I feel. I think I don't like what's happening, but like, I don't know that I have a good enough reason not to. But
yep. It's
just like, yeah.
It's several weeks later and everybody is talking about how Lon hasn't returned from his leave yet. It's been like 2 weeks. Where's he been? Oscar and Andre decide to go give Alon's pay to him personally and see what's up. They go to his apartment, but on the way up, his neighbor stops them to tell them that if they're going to go see Alon, tell him to like take care of whatever the smell is coming out of his apartment. It's been like that for days. He probably just bought like bad meat or something. Like, tell him to get rid of it. Andre knocks on Alon's door, but there's no answer, so he just walks in. The smell is terrible. Inside, they see Alon's mother looking extremely depressed. She says that Alon is with his sister, that he loved her so much. Andre walks in to see Alon sitting next to a dead Diane laying on the bed. The mother explains that the day before her wedding to a nobleman, he got a proposal from a wealthy family and dumped her. Heartbroken, she hung herself, and that he threw her away like she was nothing. Alon, clearly in shock, tells Andre and Oscar that he won't be going back for a while. Until he can come to terms with the fact that his sister is gone, he can't go back. In the streets, protesters demand for a meeting of the Estates General. The narrator tells us that the Estates General is a meeting where all three estates get representation in the legislation. Then the narrator tells us that Oscar's mind is faced with the foreboding that this coming era might be a tragic one as we cut to credits.
Oh, man. Well, all the Andre stuff doesn't super get addressed in the next episode. So what do you think, Joe, with how she's now all of a sudden? And
well, let me tell you, throwing your entire person into your work to become a true man and not think about romance or emotion definitely hasn't worked. At all. I feel like both her and Andre think about romance and their feelings all the time in their job.
Well, now I'm worried that it's like, oh, she's been messing up lately. It must be because she's just thinking about romance and now she's incapable of leading and blah, 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 because she's just got girly thoughts in her head. She's been like, not that anyone's calling her out on the bad judgment calls she's been making lately.
But. Yeah. The thing about it is, like, Oscar's been taking L's, but she's been taking L's in the same way she's been taking L's the entire series. You know what I mean? Like, it is not particularly out of character for her to, like, have one of her men be like, oh, I came here to help her, and her just be like, yeah, whatever. I feel like she gets blindsided a lot. I remember early on us being like, how come she's not suspicious of this? How come she's not, like, doing this other thing? I feel like that's just an affect of Oscar. I don't feel like that is her doing worse than she has been.
It shows the kind of sheltered upbringing where she hasn't had to, like, distrust people like these other people around her have. Her mind doesn't go to worst case.
Both of those things are the same level as, like, I'm going to go get Jean alone. And I definitely won't get ambushed because there's two people in there. Or I'm going to go to Duke Orleans' cellar by myself in the parlor where everybody hates me. It's like both in line with those things. So I don't really.
She could also just like be over confident in herself, like
maybe
overestimating.
Yeah.
Her abilities to handle any situation by herself.
It definitely feels like that. So I don't think. I'm not viewing this as like, oh, Oscar's being worse at her job because she's too busy thinking about other stuff. I think that's just, she's just like that. I do think Alon is right, though, where it's like, Oscar just seems like she's running away from something. Like, again, she's just not processing her emotions, which is why, like, she's so freaked out when she calls him my Andre. Because, like, where's that coming from? Who knows? I could know if I thought about it, but I'm not going to think about it. We're going to shove it down as deep as possible so we don't have to think about what's going on. I don't have to process my extremely complex emotions about this guy who I know is in love with me, but also refuses to acknowledge that he's in love with me. And then there was that one thing we all decided to forget about. And also, he's blind because of me. Like,
yes, it's her responsibility now. With Firston, it was very subtle, like, build up of realizing emotion, and we saw it, you know, and then, but like, this is just out of nowhere. It feels like.
Well, I mean, she is kind of isolated. She's gone to a situation where she is pretty isolated, right?
Trauma bonding.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
for the most part, especially in this situation where they're all going to be like, he's going to get killed by a mob.
You know what is weird? Or I guess I wonder, right? This is a shoujo, but no one blushes. Like, blushing is such a like iconic anime shoujo thing these days, but it doesn't exist, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, that's not like a trope, or, I guess.
No. So then I can't be like, oh, look, they're feeling, you know. Also, I guess people back then just didn't like emote as much openly as they do now. But
well, I feel like the different, like, instead of blushing, it's like you staring at somebody, right? It's like, who are you looking at is like the indicator of that. Mm. Because we see like a lot of shots where like, yeah, Oscar was looking at Fursen, or like Andre is looking at Oscar. So I guess that's the indicator instead of blushing.
Yeah.
But yeah, what do we think about Alon's dead sister? That was really short.
Well, I'm surprised Oscar and Andre don't recognize the smell of decaying.
It looked like she had like some stuff on her, like she had some like flowers or something to mask it.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Because she looks like blue, like coated in something.
She's like white.
Yeah, she's like white, but there's like flowers on her. So I think that's probably like some kind of flower to mask the scent.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Poor Alon, just trying to be. Well, and then we find out in this next episode, but he's just this. He pulled it together fairly well, but just a lot of bad stuff happening to a decent guy here.
Yeah. I mean, again, the tone shift. We introduced this like young woman just to kill her.
Yeah, for real.
To demonstrate how the times have changed.
Yep.
Remember
how
this almost happened to Rosalie? Remember how this happened to Charlotte? And then this almost happened to Rosalie, although it was kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
Just being like treated like,
although we never found out the details. Yeah.
Yeah.
With Rosalie. Ugh,
man.
Okay.
All right. You want to go to the next one?
Yep. Here we go.
Before we talk about all three of them. Episode 33 is called In Twilight, the Funeral Bell Rings. We open on the pirate man lamenting that everything has gone bad. The river, you know, the river that they had to clean up for the Olympics. It turns out it was polluted back then, too. And all the people are ravenous. Everything's gone wrong. The narrator tells us that the French financial situation is busted. New taxes are being levied all the time and no one knows what's happening and everybody is pissed off. We cut to what I think is the Assembly of Notables, where a bunch of powerful people in France come together and try to pass new financial reforms. One of the nobles insists that if they're going to pass totally new taxes, if they're going to have to convene the Estates General so that all of the estates can approve it, because they're supposed to be doing that. They're kind of not doing that, but they're supposed to be doing that. Several other nobles object, saying that the commoners are too dumb to understand finance, but it looks like the majority supports the motion as the OP plays. We return to Andre listening to Bernard give a speech about how the king must call the Estates General so they can all be treated as equals. Afterward, Andre catches up with Bernard and they both act like one of them didn't blind the other. Bernard invites him over to his house. I guess they're friends now.
I guess so.
Andre comes to Bernard's house and find that he and Rosalie are married now. Bernard's like, oh yeah, after the whole Black Knight thing, we really hit it off. Cool that it worked out for me. Ha ha ha, right, Andre?
I called it out. Yeah. I called that. I knew it.
Andre tells Rosalie that Oscar is doing well and tells her that nothing has changed, which, okay, Andre, sure, nothing has changed.
Okay, I just realized we have never gotten to watch a, like, successful relationship, really, in this show. Like, we've never seen, like, a happy couple and, like, the build-up to that. It's...
Yep.
God.
Bernard and
nothing,
Rosalie, it's the best
nothing
we've got.
Nothing to get excited about. Ugh.
I mean, we like Bernard and
Well,
Rosalie,
we don't even get to watch it! I know, yeah. But we did. They just skipped to
it's
it.
It's the most bummer.
Rosalie used to be so important, and now she's so, like, throwaway character. Oh. Like, what about all the cool sword fighting you learned, girl?
She's not gonna sword fight anybody by the end of the show. We're gonna get to the end, and she's never gonna have to fight anybody.
Bummer.
I know. This is the most I've been, like, bummed out, being like, oh, man, I wish we got more time with Rosalie.
Yeah, duh.
Rosalie has to go to her new job working for Robespierre's organization to make pamphlets. Bernard tells Andre that he should join up with them. Why else would he be attending a rally? But Andre deflects, saying that he just happened to be there. Suddenly, some men come to Bernard and tell him that the king has decreed the meeting of the Estates General for the first time in 200 years. This is a big deal because it allows the three estates to meet as equals along with the king. This could fix everything. We cut to Oscar riding out to the castle of Mueldon. I don't know how to say this. Where Marie and her son Joseph, the first prince, are staying because he's gotten super ill. Oscar goes and sees Joseph, who really wants to see her because he likes her a lot. Marie tells Oscar that he maybe has 6 months to live with his condition, and it's getting worse, so who knows if even that is enough time. We also learn that he's only 7 years old. In his sick bed, Joseph protests that he wants to get out of bed. Oscar comes to see him, and Joseph is happy to see her. He wants to go ride a horse with her, like the old times. A crying Marie says it's fine, they should just go. Like, just go have fun with him, it's cool. Oscar and Joseph ride around on her horse. Joseph says that he wishes he could ride like this forever before falling asleep. They take a break, and Joseph asks Oscar about the Estates General. He wants to be in Versailles for it. Because he should be there, right? He's going to be the King of France one day. And Oscar's like, yes, of course, you are going to be the King of France one day. Joseph, who absolutely knows that he's going to die, leans up and kisses Oscar, saying he loves her. He'll definitely grow up to be a fine young man, so wait for me, okay, Oscar? And Oscar's like, yeah, okay.
She's like 30 years older than you, my guy. Also, everyone just loves Oscar.
Everybody loves Oscar. Who doesn't love Oscar? Who doesn't love sword and shield that means in Hebrew, and also gorgeous blonde hair? Mm-hmm. We never talked about how Diane just hits on Oscar in the middle of last episode.
Really explicitly.
It's so funny.
Well, it's just strange that they like set up for them to have an interaction that doesn't really go anywhere. And Oscar doesn't take away anything from seeing like what happens to her and stuff.
Everybody loves the ideal knight. Everybody loves the idea of Oscar being the ideal knight. Too bad the ideal knight can't actually do anything to resolve any situations, but she sure is nice to look at.
No, that's right.
In the chapel, Marie prays for Joseph to live as long as possible. Count Fersen sees her and is about to go in and join her, I guess, when King Louis comes up from behind him and joins Marie instead. Fersen takes this as his cue to leave and goes. Back in Paris, Alain finally returns to the barracks. The men comment that it's been 6 months and they heard that both his sister and his mom have died in that time. Alain plays it off, saying that he needed to return because the Estates General is happening. This is a huge deal and he wants to be there for it. We cut to Andre telling Oscar that apparently Fersen took that cue to leave France entirely, so I guess he's out of the story now.
Yeah, again, we thought he was gone for good before. I'm like, who knows? Is he going to make some crazy, like, what is happening with the story of Fersen, you know?
The last
like, what is going
we
on?
See of Fersen is him considering going to comfort the woman he loves the most about her dying son, and then not doing that because her actual husband shows up. So he goes home. Mm. Pathetic.
Yeah, weird. Just off. You know, throwaway comment on the fate of Fersen.
Not only that, Oscar does not seem to care at all and instead says that they need to do special security training for the Estates General.
Yeah.
Just no reaction.
Well, I'm assuming Andre would have been like, oh, she's still totally into that guy. So I was expecting her to have more of a reaction.
Yeah, I mean, Andre's always delivering the news about Fersen. Like, he delivered this news. He delivered the news that he came back from the Americas. He delivered the news that, mm-hmm. like, he made it back to Versailles last episode totally fine. He's, like, torturing himself by doing that, man. I don't know why he does that.
Mm-hmm.
On May 4th. 1789, the day before the opening of the Estates General, a grand mass was held for all of those in attendance. I mean, mass is in like the religious ceremony or the, yeah.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, Star Wars is happening. The French Royal Guard and the Swiss Royal Guard are here to do security. I don't know how much this is going to matter, but using foreign mercenaries was extremely common back then. But having a bunch of foreigners point guns at people in your own city is bad for popular opinion. This comes up in like the Revolutions podcast, so just keep that in mind, I guess. We'll see if it matters. Oscar thinks that Joseph should be in the building right over there watching the mass procession. Joseph is there and he wonders where Oscar could be. Andre tells Oscar that the men are in position, and Oscar tells him that she almost became the queen as like a little joke.
Yeah, that was fun.
We cut back to
Oscar having humor.
Yeah. Sorry. We cut back to Joseph, and he tells his younger brother, Louis Charles, to go watch the meeting up close. After all, he might be the first prince one day because I'm super gonna die. The processions to the mass starts with the Third Estate. All of the Third Estate representatives wear black, and their ranks include guys like Robespierre. He's there. And also some disaffected nobles elected by their own constituents. Partway through the procession, Joseph passes out. The next day, the States General opens. The opening ceremony involves both the king and the queen walking out to preside over the meeting. King Louis is announced and comes out to applause and takes his seat. Queen Marie is announced and comes out to dead silence and takes her seat, realizing that she has lost the support of absolutely everybody there, meaning that the people might not really hate the entire royal family. They might just actually hate her. She thinks to herself that she's going to have to stay strong to get through this.
Girl, I can't believe you're only just now figuring this out. Like, it's been years.
She's so cooked.
Years and years that people felt like this.
Yep.
Oh my God.
People were feeling this way in like episode 20.
Yeah.
A month passes and nothing happens. Outside, the Estates General, Andre and Alain talk about how they've been meeting every day, but they seem to be in an impasse. Andre is like, or no, Alain is like, too bad I can't get in there and start, you know, making some speeches. Oscar comes up and Alain asks her how it's going. She says it is disorderly as usual. Then she apologizes to the men for having to, like, for having them work every day without any breaks. When the assistant general ends, they'll all get time off. She notices a bottle on the ground and is like, hey guys, didn't I ask you to pick up the trash around here? Like, you know, it'd be bad if somebody, like, slipped on this or something. And Andre is like, oh, my bad. And she's like, yeah, it's cool. Can you just throw this out for me? She tosses the bottle to Andre, whose eye starts acting up, and he misses the very easy catch. And the bottle shatters. Alain's like, oh, Andre, you're such a butterfingers. I'll clean this up. But Oscar's like, hey, Andre, is your vision okay? Like, is your eye okay? But Andre and Alain both cover it up. We get a scene of the king and queen rushing off because Joseph is in bad condition again. Back at the Jarges, Andre tells Oscar that apparently the Estates General adjourned so that the king and queen can go visit their dying son. Oscar says that he's had episodes like this before and has pulled through, so, you know, hopefully this time won't be any different. Then Oscar takes out a knife and holds it up to Andre to ask him if he knows that she's holding up a knife to him. She's like, can you see this? And Andre is like, yeah, of course I can see it. It's like 2 inches away from my face. Come on, Oscar. I'm not blind.
Well, it's like there's a very visual indication that there's a delayed reaction to his eyes seeing it. Like, we see that. Oscar, you should be able to see that, too. And through lies. My God.
Yes. Oscar returns to her seat, but hears something and goes back to the window. It's the church bells. That must mean that Joseph is in critical condition. The narrator tells us that those bells signal a 40-hour vigil because the prince might die. In a sickbed, Joseph asks why the representatives at the Estates General aren't able to make a compromise. Marie's like, you don't need to worry about that. You're only 7 years old. Joseph says that he wishes he could make it back to Versailles one last time, and King Louis is like, of course. You'll definitely get better and we'll go back there, and you can even go riding with Oscar again, just like before. And Joseph is like, ah, Oscar, that would be great. And then he dies. He dreams of a white horse before fading to black. Marie and Louis are left to mourn. The narrator tells us that Joseph died on June 4th, but maybe his early death, which left him unaware about the future fate of the family, was a blessing in disguise. Which, oof, what a thing to say.
Yes, probably, but also grim.
Probably. Oscar rides off to give the royal family her condolences. The narrator tells us that tell us ominously that it is unclear what the future of France holds as we cut to credits.
Bum, bum, bum. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Like, stuff is happening. These next episodes are going to be so crazy.
Breakneck speed.
Yeah. We're going. I'm excited. And I'm also concerned. Oh, man. Like, God. Okay.
All right. How do we feel about this? What are we going to talk about first? Do we want to do our final farewell to Fersen?
If it's the final farewell.
I feel like it is, right? Like, he can't come. Because the thing is, the amount of time, like the amount of literal time between the Estates General convening and the royal family being executed, I don't think is that long.
Well, maybe he'll come back to grieve Marie Antoinette.
Oh, yeah. Like, we'll get one final scene with him.
Or something. Yeah. Uh-huh. Maybe.
Let me look up a French Revolution timeline.
Tragic that you're hot again and now you leave. Like, you should have just gone away when they were animating you not hot. And then let us see more of you when you did look good. Because I feel like I remember, like, when we, God, you know who's gone through it the most? Andre, visually. Like, he looks so different and so down and, like, gloomy, and the emo cover my eye with my hair and this and that. Like, he used to be so jolly. I guess maybe Oscar's just into that more, and that's why she's into him now. She's into the
doom. I don't know. I mean, she's like in a totally different spot, right?
She lives for the drama.
She lives for the drama.
Yeah.
All right. So let me okay. August 8th, the Royal Treasury is declared empty, and the king calls the Estates General. Okay, so that's August 8th, 1788. Let's see. And then Marie gets executed on October 16th, 1793. So it's 4 years in between those things.
Okay.
So I think we're at the Estates General. We're about to do the tennis court oath. So that's when things start really taking a turn. That's in 1789. So she's got 3 years left. So we're going to cover three years in seven episodes, which is plenty of time for Percy to come back. Yeah, he could totally come back.
Well, I guess we'll see. Okay. What do we think? I'm like, I'm still convinced Oscar's going down with the ship. So
she's so close to not.
Is Andre going down with her, or is he going to pull her out of it? Because he's very clearly leaning more towards the revolution, but his like loyalty to Oscar is keeping him from like aligning with what he agrees with.
It's going
to
be so tragic if like if Andre's love for Oscar is what gets him killed. I mean, that's what they're all setting up. This is what Alon is saying every episode,
basically, about right. At this point, yeah. Right?
Like, he's just like, dude, you need to let her go. Like, you're going to get caught up in something. Is that what's going to happen?
Maybe Andre dies, and that's what it takes for Oscar to, like, cut ties fully and side with the revolution. And then she's just going to be bummed out forever.
You think so?
Or like disappear after Marie. I don't know. But then like she's not that she has a close relationship with Marie anymore, but like how is her death gonna, I don't know.
It's so
Oscar's very dramatic, so who knows?
It's so good how unclear this is, right? Because it's like there are many threads pulling Oscar to the revolution at this point, right? Like Alon likes her. And would definitely gear her towards that. Like she's hanging out with the man. Like she helps Lazare in this episode. Like she knows what's up. Like she understands the situation more than she ever has in her position now. Right. And she also is experiencing violence firsthand at the mob. So I think she understands what that means as well. So I still feel like there's room for her to basically get exiled at the end, which is the ending I was wanting for her, of like, she gets convicted of like, you know, siding with the royal family, but because of her relationships with like Bernard and those guys, they get it reduced to her just being exiled. I still think that could be what happens. Like Rosalie appeals to Bernard, who gets him to commute some of the sentence. I'm still pulling for that ending, but I don't know. I mean, it seems like she's going to die and also going to drag Andre down with her.
Yeah, that seems... this is just going to be a very tragic end to the show. It's not like we've had like excessive happiness ever.
This show does not pull any punches. Like if any show is going to kill its main character at the end, it would be this one.
Yeah.
Oof.
I don't know. We'll freaking see, I guess.
Do you think Andre would join the revolution? Just like as it stands now? I mean, he was hanging out with Bernard.
Maybe. Oh, okay. What if it's like Oscar somehow gets punished for having like... What if Oscar gets killed by the royals for like some kind of, I don't know, cutting loose ends, or like she could side against us to take her out now before she does, and then that pushes him to become more radical and side with them? To like avenge Oscar, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. There's also maybe. A third thing that could happen, because I don't think this will, but it could, which is that France is going to go to war with Austria and Prussia, I think, during this time. like in between the years like, when they. So the timeline's a little weird for the French Revolution, because it's like we always talk about this stuff domestically, but then there's the stuff internationally, which is like all the other powers of Europe are looking at France like devolving and being like, yeah, this is great. Our hated enemies, France, are devolving. And then they see that they're going to form like a representative government and get rid of the king. And they're like, oh, shit, if our people realize they could do that, that could be a problem for us. So then they all like try to invade France. So like during the French Revolution, France is constantly at war with everybody around them. So it could also be
just disaster. I mean,
also could also get dragged off to war. I don't think that would happen because that wouldn't make a very good story. But that is an ending for Oscar potentially. Like she gets put on the front lines away from everything as she sees Marie one last time and then hears about her getting executed later. That's another thing that could happen.
Yeah, that sounds like a possibility. I guess we're just gonna have to wait and see, but not for too much longer. Okay, so
making the revolution seem like a real bummer.
We have three more.
We're gonna have three episodes more episodes covered? Next week. We're gonna watch 34, 35, and 36, and then we're gonna watch 37, 38, and then 39 and 40 as two separate episodes. So we'll have three left, just because we want to have time. We don't want to put all four episodes into one last episode of the podcast, because that would be. We're going to have, I feel like we're going to have a ton to talk about in the show overall.
Yes, for sure.
So we're going to have one full episode next on like maybe a shorter one after that, or who knows, maybe we have a lot of stuff to talk about in that one. And then one final wrap up episode where we kind of go over the whole series and do our end of show stuff. You know, where we do the rankings and stuff like that. I'm fascinated to see what our rankings is. Of all the shows we've watched.
Oh, yeah.
And all the
this show is going to have a big impact.
Yeah, this one's going to be wild.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's going to be fun.
We've been behind the scenes. We've been working out kind of the next shows we're going to watch as we wrap up The Rose of Versailles. What are we going to do for the movie? We haven't really talked about that.
Oh, yeah. I guess do it immediately after our show coverage ends, but do we have that be like a normal episode instead of a bonus?
Yeah, I feel like we should cover it as a normal episode because that is like part of the content of the show. But do you want to do it immediately afterwards? Is that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
that way it's all together.
Yeah.
And then we can have. Because we like this, so it's not like we need a break from it, you know?
Yeah, and it's been like, you know, we haven't
watched the first... Interesting to see what voice actors they pick.
10 episodes in 2 months or whatever.
Sometime. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be cool to see. So I think that's what we'll do. And yeah, so this is, I think, excellent choice, Joe. Excellent choice. Ooh. And it's going to be hard finding things that get us this invested moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we can go ahead and say the next thing we're going to do is we're going to do season 2 of Chihayafuru. So we're going to go back to that and finish that up.
Yep.
And then we're
go back to feeling bad for Tai Chi.
Go back to normal stakes
and
for
being
a show,
mad at Chihaya.
Where like the stakes of the show aren't going to be like, hey, is the entire government going to fall apart? It's going to be like, can I make rank whatever a?
Yeah. Yeah. So
it'll be a nice
quite the shift in tone once we get to that. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Oh boy. Okay, well, I guess as we're coming to an end for The Rose of Versailles, hopefully you guys have enjoyed the coverage of this. And if you want to tell us what shows you want us to cover, if it's something similar to this, or you do need a lighter show, feel free to leave us reviews. And in those reviews, tell us. That's the way we'll hear your requests.
Yeah. You can also email us at shoujopod@gmail.com. That's another good way to send us direct questions or comments, but mostly questions. So go ahead and do that.
Yes.
Tell your friends.
Yep.
This is a good show. It's a great show, actually. They should know about it.
It's so good.
If you know about it and they don't, go ahead and spread that around. Let them know. They can listen to this if they want some companion pieces to talk to them through it, because this is a fun way to consume media, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. No guessing about it. For sure.
All right. Well, we should have an episode. We should have a bonus episode out sometime in the near future when you're hearing this.
Probably a few days afterwards. Yeah,
something like that. And then we're going to finish up the show. Watch the movie.
Yeah. Be excited.
Yep. We're reaching the end. Exciting we're all rushing stuff. To the end to watch Marie get her head cut off.
I can't wait for that. My hatred isn't as passionate as it used to be because we don't have to see her as much.
Did you like it when she came out to total silence?
Well, it's like, duh.
Yeah, it's the most like, I'm like, it's over for you. You're so done.
I mean, does the king think nothing of it? Or is he aware, like, have they not made public appearances before this? You know, what have they been doing?
Yeah. They should be more aware. But too bad.
Yes. Have awareness of things happening around you, please.
Remember to pay a little bit of attention to your polling numbers. You know, you don't want to be walking out to complete silence. That's bad.
Yeah. Unless you probably should get tomatoes thrown at her or something. I guess they would have gotten killed for that, probably. Yeah,
these are like nobles and stuff. They're not going to be like, this is like walking out in front of Congress. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be throwing tomatoes. Now the mob will be throwing tomatoes. I guess
we're finally going to see.
For sure.
Yeah. We'll finally see the return of, what's his name? First bad guy.
Duke Orleans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's been gone. The pacing of this show has been the time it covers and the coming and going of characters, you know, as the stakes have gotten higher, the less like intimate moments we're getting with our side characters that we used to get. We don't get send offs like we did with Madame Dewberry. Nope. Ah, she got out of there. Not a good time.
Well, bad news about her, because she's going to come back at a very bad time. I don't know if the show's going to cover it, but historically, yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. Remember.
Thank you, everyone.
What are we remembering here? If the woman you love is praying for her son's recovery and her husband goes to pray with her, maybe you should just leave the country. Maybe it's time to get out of there. Know when the going gets good that you should get gone.
The first time he's ever seen them interact as a couple.
Yeah. Good time to leave first. Honestly, like, just get out of there, man.
If you see dynamite, just run for the hills. That stuff. You underestimate the power of dynamite.
If one of your underlings starts acting very suspicious and wants to follow you, don't just let them. Don't just let them do that.
Yep. Okay. So many lessons learned.
Rosalie should get a sword fight. I'm mad that Rosalie doesn't get a sword fight.
Oh my god.
She isn't gonna get one. We're gonna get to the end of this story and I'm not gonna know what happened to Rosalie. It's gonna be sad.
She could have been like a vigilante couple. It would have been so cool.
I'm just imagining like a better reality where Andre became the Black Knight and Rosalie is also there. They all just became the Black Knight together, you know what I mean? Like, they all have the outfit and they're all like tag teaming. And they're all just swashbuckling and cool. Imagine.
He was really good at it. He had fun with it. Oh, goodness. Okay. All right. We're wrapping it up here, Joe. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it. We hope to hear from you guys. And we'll catch you next time with our bonus episode. And then the end of the Rose of Versailles.
Three episodes left. Of the podcast.
We'll catch you guys. Yes. Forever. The end of Shoujo. Forever.
We're calling it done. No. We've covered all of Shoujo after this show. It's like, what else can we possibly
do? The show
do?
Can't be topped. Yes. It can't be bested. Yep. All right. See you guys later. Bye.